Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. This is the first time I've ever had a church service here that I can't see you. Oh, there we got lights. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, so we're getting it down a little bit better. As some of you that were here last Sunday, you noticed that we've done a little work since last Sunday. We took all the equipment back here on the back and built us a platform up above and moved everything up there, which gave us a little more room on the bottom. And then I got to tell you about, of course, we run electrical circuits and all kinds of stuff and did all kinds of things and put carpet down in the hallway out here and in the nursery and in the nursing room and a few little odds and ends. You know, we done a few hours work, you know, Thursday afternoon. Well, we praise the Lord for all of it. Thursday afternoon about 6 o'clock, you know, that's when most people quit, isn't that right? About 6. I walked in here and Cheryl said, "What are you going to do tonight?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to blow these walls on, the texture on all these walls." And she said, "Well, how much are you going to get done?" I said, "As much as I can get done." And so she said, "Well, I hope you can get it done by Saturday." I said, "Well, we're going to give it a shot." So she said, "How are you going to get up there?" I said, "A ladder." So I got a great big tall ladder that reaches all the way to the peak up there. And I put that ladder up there. Of course, I started back there in the corner. And actually, it was a whole bunch of sheetrock and a bunch of lumber and everything's been stacked there for several weeks. But I started on this side of the window and I started mixing my mud and started blowing and coming this way. And then when I got down here, I put the ladder up here and went up to the top, carried the big thing full of mud in the right hand and climbed the ladder with the left hand. And went up to the top, and from 6 o'clock till midnight, I had this entire thing blown. It was totally through. And in the wee hours of the morning, as I was laying there, I'll have to say I was a little bit tired. You know, I won't lie to you. I was a little bit tired. I was laying there in the bed in the wee hours this morning, and Cheryl woke up, and she realized I was still awake, and she said, "You know, up until today, you were my 30-year-old husband." But she said, "After what I saw you do climbing up that ladder and carrying that mud," she said, "you're my 20-year-old husband now." Oh, goodness gracious. And I did that after hours, you know, after 6 o'clock. So I praise the Lord for the knowledge and the wisdom and everything He's given me to be able to do all this. And, of course, when Deborah comes in, when she sees all the things been done this week, because she's here every Sunday, she said, "You get a thumbs up this week." And I told her, I said, "Well, if I have to go this much work to get a thumbs up next week, I may not get one next week. I don't know." Oh, but I'm going to tell you, everybody worked hard. While I was back there doing the rest of this blowing, Phil come in about 10 o'clock, and he said, "Pastor, can I help you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "If you want to start throwing that lumber up on top and that sheetrock, we only had about stack about that tall. I said, you can put the first 20 sheets or so in that room in there, and then the rest of it you can throw it up on top." So while I was blowing, he carried a bunch of it in there and put it in there. And then when I did get almost through blowing, I told him, I said, "Well, let me help you." And I started helping him stand those up in the last 30 or 40 sheets. I helped him throw up on top. I think he went home about midnight or 1 or something like that, too, I think. So. Well, and then, of course, Dave, he was out here all times of the day and night working. So all of us together. And then, of course, Paul, another Paul, Vitito, he called me Saturday morning, Friday morning. And he said, "Pastor, you working on the church this week?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm working on the church." He says, "Could you use another hand?" I said, "Oh, bless you." I said, "Yes, I could." So Paul Vitito, he came out and he scraped mud along the floor and cleaned and mopped this entire place for me Friday. So that was a tremendous blessing. He done all that while I was putting all the electrical plugs in and putting the trim around the doors and all that kind of stuff. So what a blessing to have the people help me this week to do what we got done. It was a real blessing. But when God's people, God's men work together, just like putting this building together, you know, we put this building together from ground zero, nothing, the first service in 2 months. You know, and I thought that was awesome, what all the men did. But anyway, with God, nothing's impossible. Now then, before we get started today, I'd like to give you an opportunity, if anybody's got a testimony, I want you to share it with us. Who's got a testimony? Jack, you got one? Okay, praise the King. You're on the air there.
All right. Well, people in the world are faced with an odd problem. If you pray for them and it doesn't happen immediately, then God didn't answer the prayer. If you pray for them and it happens, it would have happened anyway, right?
Yeah.
So they got it pretty well wired. Well, several months ago, I've been criticized somewhat every time when I wear a shirt. Every day, about my normal routine, I go by my little cleaners. Yeah. Several months ago, I went in there, and he was in a mess. He was flustered. His electricity had gone off, and it looked like it was going to be a couple of days before he got turned on. And he was trying to find an electrician. I said, "Well, I've got an electrician." He said, "You do?" I said, "Sure." He said, and I said, "This is no problem. My electrician can fix this immediately." And he said, "Well, what's his number?" I said, "Well, we'll talk to him right now." I said, "My electrician's name is Jesus." And we prayed.
And then, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? He's crazy.
Now, this is a little, very Middle Eastern looking man. And so we prayed, I said, "I guarantee you it'll be on before you know it." I went on about my business. Well, I came in the next day, it was on. He said, "Well, 2 hours after you left, it came back on." So we just kind of left it at that. Well, I went in there this week, at the time of day I go in, there's nothing going on. And I walked to the door, and he said, "Oh, we got to pray. You've got to pray for me." And I think that was from the seed that we planted earlier.
Amen.
I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "My mother is deathly ill. Her blood pressure is just crazy. Her heart's very regular." And I said, "Where is she?" "In the Middle East somewhere." And so we prayed for her, and so I visualized, and I remember your scripture, as my arm shortened. But I visualized me putting my hand on her chest, and I prayed that her blood pressure would return to normal, her heart would return to normal. Her name is Fatima Escandi, approximately. So then there's a couple of days delay in him getting information back, and the next time I saw him, he said, "Her blood pressure is regulated perfect and her heart's doing fine." He said, "Now I just hope she comes out of a coma." I said, "Well, you didn't tell me she was in a coma." So I want all of us to pray that, you know, minor little thing like a coma, that the Lord will change. And then I have one other thing that's very exciting. I'm more excited about this than some of the other things. I was calmly sitting in Starbucks. I get criticism for that, but I get a cup of coffee for $2 and I get a free paper, and you know, so it averages out $1. Anyway, I was reading my Bible, and this man came in about 50 years old and sat down in the next chair and said, "What are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading Judges." He said, "Well, I don't know how you... I have a seminary degree," he said, "from Dallas Theological." And he said, "I don't know how you understand that if you don't have a seminary degree." And I kind of... That's odd. But I kind of looked at him. I said, "Well, I just kind of rely on the Holy Spirit. All I know." And, I mean, I didn't want to go into the fact that I've got degrees and never known thing. But anyway, we went on, and he started... guess what came up? Healing. He said, "Do you go to church?" I said, "Yeah, I go to two churches." "Oh, one, none?" I said, "No, every Sunday I go to two churches." "You go to two churches?" I didn't want to tell him the other one was 2-3 hours long. But we discussed healing. He said, "Well, I have a friend that's investigated all those," and he named some people, and none of them work. And I said, "Well," I said, "there's only one I know of is the one I go to, and it works." He said, "Well, like what?" And, of course, I couldn't think of, I obviously thought of myself, but he said, "Oh, well, back problems are all psychological." I kind of had me flustered. And, of course, afterwards, I thought of Gary Young and some specific. And I said, "Well, how about a man that had a tree fall on his legs and crushed him?" I said, "Would that be good?" "Oh, well, yeah, let me see." You know. Anyway, to make a long story short, he said, "Well, my friend investigates all these." And I said, "Well, you know, we really encourage that."
Amen.
I mean, it's kind of like Jesus said, you know, "Do you believe the healings I've done, or do you believe my words? You know, take your pick." So maybe that'll come around. And And I gave him the two-tape miraculous healings and power of God. If those two won't get him deeper and interested, well, I'll have to think about another answer.
Amen. Anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Anybody else got a testimony before we go on? I want to share it.
I had a young man call me this week named Valentino with a praise report. We had prayed for him about a month ago. He watched my testimony where I said I had two root canals healed. So he said, I heard that, so you need to pray for me because I need a root canal. And I said, okay. And he's been listening to Pastor Scribner for like 3 years. And he goes, I heard that, and I know that you can do it. Or God can do it, not me. Trust me. So anyway, we prayed, and he went to the dentist this week. And his root canal is all healed up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sharon's really good at those root canals, you know, because she had a couple of them herself, you know, that the dentist told her that when she was there having her teeth cleaned, said she needed a root canal and, I don't know, one or two teeth. And she said, oh, okay. She said, now that I know that, I'll have my pastor pray with me next Sunday. And he said, well, let's sign you up for a root canal. She said, oh, no. I'm going to go to church and let my pastor pray with me. And so she come the next Sunday and said, Pastor, I got a couple of root canals that they told me, and I want you to agree with me that the Lord has healed my teeth, and it's done. So we took Matthew 18:19 and prayed the prayer of agreement. She said, it's done. Praise God. And she just thanked the Lord and praised him and never went back to the doctor, the dentist, or nothing. And several months later, 8 months or a year, whatever it was, she was back over there to have her teeth cleaned again. And he said, you want to have that root canal done? She said, well, I don't need a root canal. He said, oh, yes, you do. He said, let's do the x-ray. She said, no, I'm not going to spend money for an x-ray. There's not anything wrong with my teeth. Now, see, this is faith talking.
Amen.
Real faith. And the doctor said, okay, I'll pay for the x-ray, but I'll prove to you that those teeth still need root canals. So he paid for the x-rays and done them. And when he got through, he says, I don't believe this. There's not anything wrong with your teeth. And so there's a woman of great faith right there. I'll say that. You know, people have different faith for different things. Did you have a testimony, Deborah? Come on. And this is a young lady that gave me a thumbs up for all this hard work this week. Oh, you give me two. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deborah.
I complained about one. I figured I'd better give him two since he worked so hard.
All of us worked hard. Yeah, that was for me and Dave and Phil and Paul. All of us. You know. And Cheryl. I forgot about my wife. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She worked hard. The man.
She and I don't count, you know. Yeah, she and I don't count, you know. We just work. So. Oh, goodness.
He sprayed her.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to tell you about that when we get through. Go ahead.
Well, about 3 years ago or four, whenever I came to the ministry, I was at a healing school. And when I got a hold of the word that Jesus was not only my Savior, he was my healer, I immediately sat in my chair and said, okay, I repent. I didn't know. And so I was immediately healed. I haven't had a migraine headache that I'd had for 30 years and had been on barbiturates for 30 years.
Wow.
Haven't had a migraine headache in over 3 years now.
Wow.
Well,
thank
the other
Jesus.
Day, Donna's husband was telling me that he'd asked the Lord to heal her sinuses or his sinuses, and he had. And I thought, well, that's all I need to hear because, you know, my sinuses have been bothering me too. So now my sinuses are all healed. So I no longer have any sinus problems. And then I had a really difficult, oppressive individual that I was having to work under in my job. And so I started speaking blessings of a new, improved position for him outside of the company. And in a week, he gave his resignation and left for a brand new, great job.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that technically speaking, we as the church, we have been given dominion and authority and power on the earth to reign and rule. In fact, the Lord tells us, in fact, we might put this on the screen. I will talk about this a second while Dave's finding this scripture. It's not in my text today, but I want to talk about it just a second. Romans 5:17. I want you to see something. But while he's pulling up Romans 5:17, I want to tell you that whenever I started spraying the acoustics back there, what Cheryl was talking about, I told her, I said, honey, why don't you hold this piece of cardboard up here so I won't be able to blow in on the new carpet. So she gets the piece of cardboard and she holds it up there and I start blowing, and naturally some of that stuff splatters and gets on her arms, on her face, and her hair. And she screams and says, I don't like this. I ain't going to do this. She said, I resigned from this job. So I said, okay. So that means I got to hold a cardboard with one hand and a bucket with the other hand, you know. But I did it by myself. But she started vacuuming and everything else. So she found something she liked to do. There was plenty of things to do, you know. So, but she didn't like me blowing the mud on her. So I mean, I don't know. Some of you girls might be just as, you know, same way she is. You might not like, you don't like that mud being blown on you either. Later, whenever I did it around the window, by that time we had it cleaned out, and Phil was here, and so him being a man, I said, Phil, will you hold this cardboard for me so I don't have to hold it? He said, sure. He held it up there, and I blow it, and it splatters, sprinkles all. He never says a word, not a word. He just the difference between a man and a woman, right? Us guys. But I want you to look at this scripture in Romans 5:17. Now, since we're going to have a prophet this afternoon that's going to say some things, and I'm sure some of them is going to be very devastating. But I want you to know that the devastating things are already happening in America. They have been for a while. This is really not something new. It's just that we would always like to know, kind of through God's prophets, what He has for us in the future. Because we do kind of like to know what tomorrow holds, don't we? You know, we kind of like. Sometimes, you know, it scares us when we find out what tomorrow holds. You know, I mean, I know God's not going to give us more than we can bear, but I do know that this last week I went in on CNN on my computer and I looked at some devastating storms in the Midwest, and some of you might have saw it on television since I don't have a TV, but I did see it on CNN on Internet. And there was places up and down somewhere in the Midwest where there was towns in Iowa, and it says here is a town. And the next picture was a lake of water. And it said the same place, no town. It didn't just wash away one or two houses. It got a whole town. Now, some of you may have saw this. I'm going to tell you that, you know, people today do not believe that these things that are happening to us are from God. You know, but let me tell you, the way I read this book, He is in control of the universe. I mean, He says not a hair on your head is not numbered. He knows every one of them. You know, He knows everything about you. He says not even a sparrow falls to the ground except I know it. In other words, He is God. And He is in control. Now then, that is a lot of comfort for me, because when He says, if you love me and you worship me, and you serve me and you obey me, then none of these devastating things will come near you. He says you will see them with your eyes, but they will not touch you. He even goes so far as to say you'll see 1,000 fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, but it won't come near you, providing you or making me, the Most High God, your dwelling place. And if there's ever a time on this earth we, the body of Christ, need to make Him our dwelling place, it's now. It's now, because, you know, we saw way back there when Katrina blowed in, you know, we saw, and there was a prophet that was on television that somebody told me about, and it was 12 days before Katrina hit New Orleans. And they were fixing to have this decadence day in New Orleans for the homosexuals. It was going to be the largest homosexual meeting ever, and it was going to be in just a few days. And the city had approved this meeting. And this people brought videos to the city manager to show them what these guys were going to do and the wickedness that was going to be there. But they were looking at the $100 million it was going to bring into their city. And so they were going to let them do it. But yet there was two pastors who wanted to build a church down there in New Orleans, and they went to the city for a building permit, and they wouldn't approve a new church. Wouldn't approve a church. And the night on television that story was told, there was a prophet there, stood up and said, enough is enough. God is going to judge New Orleans. In a few days, New Orleans will fall. In a few days, there will be water, and there will be bodies floating in the waters, and a stench will rise to heaven. New Orleans has been judged. Now then, you hear that, you look at that, you listen to that, you think, no, that couldn't possibly happen to New Orleans. But 12 days later, New Orleans was destroyed. And I'm going to tell you, it still hasn't recovered. I haven't even been back down there. But I'm going to tell you, New Orleans has not recovered. There was death and destruction everywhere. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, there's a few people that stood up and said, this is a judgment from God. But the majority of the people, even in the churches, say, no, God would never do something like that to us. I'm telling you, He's been doing that forever. Amen. You go back and read the Scripture. God, He is a God of judgment to the disobedient. He's a God of mercy to those that repent. Just like this gentleman that got up here a while ago, some of you didn't know, this is Jack Butler. But Jack Butler, just a year or so ago, he was sent to our ministry. He's a good Southern Baptist, just like I was. And he really didn't know about the healing power of Jesus. He knows that God can do anything. He knows His power. And like he said, he's not a dumb man. He is very educated. You know, he's got degrees from all over. You know, he is a doctor, and all. He's a very educated man. He's not a stupid man, that's for sure. You know, but he went to a good church, but he didn't know about the healing power of Jesus. And so he had a problem with his back that couldn't get healed. And so somebody sent him to us and said if he'd come over here to the Living Savior Ministers, he could get healed. So he listened, and he came over. And the first Sunday he came, he heard me teach the Word of God, and he came up, like most people does, and said, Pastor, you kind of teach it a little different than I've ever heard it done, but, you know, I never heard this concept that sin is what puts sickness and disease on us. He said, I've had a back problem for a while, and said, I've tried everything to get it eliminated, and it don't work, and I'm continuing to have a back problem. I said, well, you're living in some kind of sin. And I said, you know, you're doing something wrong that ain't pleasing God. And I said, you got to repent. And I said, now, if you repent, I said, you probably know God, the Holy Spirit will convict you right now what you're doing wrong. I said, He'll let you know. And I said, all you got to do is tell Him, Lord, I repent. And he said, well, do I have to tell you? I said, no, I don't want to know. I said, oh, I'm not, doesn't make any difference to me. I said, the only one you need to repent to, and you can tell it silently or you can tell it out loud. But you can go back in the corner, do whatever you do, and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I broke your rules. I've done this, and I'm sorry, and I promise you I will never do it again. But I said, when you're making that promise, you want to make sure you're faithful, you're honest. Don't break it again. So he said, okay, so you repented. I said, okay. I laid hands on him, and according to the Word of God, and asked the Lord to forgive him. He asked the Lord to forgive him, so I said, Lord, He's asked you to forgive him. I know you've forgiven him, so now heal him in Jesus' name. I said, that's done. He said, all there is to it? I said, that's all there is to it. I do my part. God does the supernatural. How long is it going to take? I said, I don't have a clue. You know, may take a minute, may take a day, may take a week, may take a month. I don't know. But just all you got to do now is walk faithful and holy before Him and praise Him and worship Him for your healing with no doubt in your heart. And I said, I guarantee you He'll heal you. Well, this doctor didn't get to his car before his back pain went away. And that's been, a year ago or something, Jack? About a year. And he ain't had no back pain since. So now then, he knows Jesus as his healer. Amen. So now then, he can pray the prayer of faith for people because he knows Jesus as a healer. But I'm going to tell you that when you learn that your sin is what makes you sick, and of course, this is something the average church member does not believe. That's just like judgment. When Cheryl and I was going to Frankfurt, Germany, just a few weeks ago to preach over there for a week on descent, the little stewardess, as she sat down in front of us on descent, I looked at her and I said, young lady, are you a Christian? She said, I sure am. I said, you go to church? She said, I sure do. I said, well, praise God. She said, let me ask you a question. She said, what do you think about this huge earthquake that just hit China? I said, it's a judgment from God. Well, what about the storms that just hit Burma? I said, that's a judgment from God. And the lady sitting right here on the end of the aisle right across. Cheryl and I sitting in two seats here, and there's an aisle, and then there's another seat. This lady here, I don't have a clue who this woman is, never seen her before in my life. She turned and looked at me, and she said, I don't believe that. I said, well, ma'am, the only reason you don't believe that is because you ain't read the book. I said, if you'd read the book, you'd know. You'd know that God is a God. She said, well, God will work with us. I said, I'm telling you, God does work with us. He is a merciful God. I said, if we got what we deserved, do you know how many of us would be alive today? I mean, Jack, in your own life as a Christian, you can think of the different times you've sinned in different ways. If God judged you every time, I mean, He'd have killed you. Oh, me too. I mean, a long time ago, this old boy right here would have been history. You know, I mean, it's just like God says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Now then, if I had to never grumble and complain, the first time I grumbled and complained years ago, I'd have been history, wouldn't I? If He'd have judged me right there. Because I know that none of y'all are like me. I know none of y'all ever grumble and complain about nothing. No, I got a feeling y'all are all just like me. I got a feeling you all grumble and complain about something. But if God wasn't merciful, the church wouldn't be here today. That's what He sent His Son for. Now, He gave us some great things, and I don't care what the prophet tells us this afternoon. I'm not going to leave here this afternoon in fear. I'm going to leave here praising the King. But I don't want you to think that whatever this prophet tells us this afternoon, unless he speaks directly to me by the Holy Spirit to do something, I'm not going to change a thing I'm doing. I'm going to continue to walk holy. I'm going to continue to build this building. I'm going to continue to have church right here every Sunday. Unless God tells me, if he looks at me and says, I'm ready for you to leave. I called another prophet last night and talked to him about some of these things. And I said, by the way, where is your ministry located? He said, we're located on the coast of Florida. I said, well, do you think that's a good place with all these things that I'm hearing that God says he's going to judge the coast? He said, the Lord has already told me to move to Tennessee, to move my ministry to Tennessee. And said, we're in the process right now of getting ready to leave. Well, now see, if God speaks to you and tells you to go somewhere, you do what the King says. Amen. If he doesn't speak to you, if he tells us, the body of Christ, I'll just tell you that I believe it was David Wilkerson that has the church up in New York, that David told his congregation on Sunday, he said, whatever you do on 9/11, do not go to the Twin Towers. And that's all he said. Whatever you do, spoke this right to his congregation, right out of the mouth of a man of God. He said, whatever you do on 9/11, do not go to the Twin Towers or anywhere close to the Twin Towers on 9/11. He spoke that in his church. Now, everybody that stayed home and believed him, they're still alive today. Those that didn't believe him, died. It's that simple. Now, see, God had a message for his people, didn't he? God never does anything except he warned his people first. Now, some of us are not listening. He always warns us, but we don't listen. And it's time, I think, that we really start listening, because I know devastating things are going to come. And I do know that in the process of things that are being spoken, that there is going to be storms. I mean, just like in New Orleans. I mean, I spoke to people down. I mean, I think about this little lady. Lord, I can't think of her name. Please, Lord, the little lady that got a hold of our teaching that lives down there in Florida that the storms hit.
Oh, Dolores.
Dolores Mueller. Yeah, Miss Dolores. She is an elderly woman, you know, and she got a hold of our teaching 4 or 5 years ago, and it lit her fire. She owns a little business down there, and she wanted everything I made. And so everything I made, I sent them to her, and I taught her some of the things, like this Romans 5:17 we're going to talk about in a minute. And she learned her power and her dominion and her authority as an obedient daughter of God. So she lives right in the area where those storms came across Florida. Now, the first time they come by, her faith was pretty strong. And she said, Lord, I don't want any damage to my house. No damage whatsoever. So it tore up houses all around her, knocked out all the electricity for miles and everything, but she didn't have any damage to her house. She called me and told me, boy, she's praising the Lord. She said, I asked the Lord to send angels and my house is still intact. Well, I told her. She said, I'm out of electricity and lost all my meat in my freezer and all that stuff. I said, well, why didn't you ask the Lord to keep the electricity on in your street? I didn't think about that, she said. See, I didn't have enough faith. Just like Jack praying for the woman that was comatose. You know, he didn't know she was comatose. He just asked the Lord to stabilize her heart, and that's what he did. He's a faith God, and he only does what we ask for when we ask in faith. So anyway, by the time they had three hurricanes, she was involved in three dead-hit hurricanes in Florida, and almost everything around her was completely destroyed by the time the third one hit. And the last time they had the big one that wiped out everything down there, she called me and said, Thurman, I'm going to tell you, there's not any electricity for miles. There's, I think, 180,000 homes have no electricity. But I asked the Lord to keep the power on my street. And she said, there's only one place in town that's got electricity, and it's my street. Woo! Yeah.
I have to say it.
Oh, okay, Joseph, if you got to tell us something, come up here where you can tell it on the mic.
I had some property right in the middle of those hurricanes down in Florida. At the time this struck, it was worth about $10,000. Lori and I prayed for that too. Property wasn't damaged. Within 6 months, it went up to about $55,000, and I sold it.
Amen. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about that's available to you and I as obedient Christians. See, God, out of the devastation he brought, can bless two obedient Christians. See, so that's the beautiful part about God. See, he's promised you as an obedient Christian to give you things beyond your wildest dreams. Now, I want you to look at this Romans 5:17. This is an awesome statement. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now, we know who that was, don't we? We know that was Adam. Adam died, he sinned, and so death reigned. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now, who is that? That's our Savior and us. We're received. Which much more, they which receive abundance of grace, that's us, and of the gift of righteousness, which is the Lord, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, we shall be defeated?
No, we'll reign.
Oh, do you know what it means to reign?
To
be in control. That's what it means. Now, then, if you're an obedient Christian, just like Joseph said there, just like Dolores said there, when the storms came, this little, I don't know, Dolores, if I miss your age, forgive me, 75 or 80, I'm guessing. Somewhere in that neighborhood. This precious little lady that is a little lady that does not have enough strength to even begin to put up a house. You know, but she's still in good health. But she could walk outside and speak to that storm and remind the Lord that she's his daughter. And that I'm walking in obedience to your word, Lord. And I know my dominion, and I'm supposed to reign and rule with you on the earth right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm going to ask you to protect my property. And he did. And then later, after she talked to me, and I said, well, why didn't you ask the Lord to keep the power on your street? She said, I'll do that if another one comes. And another one came, and she did. And boy, was she happy when she called me and said, Thurman, the power's out. I forget how many, 180,000 houses or something, but my street still has electricity. Isn't God awesome?
Amen.
I remember when Bruce, a young man that worked for me in New Orleans years ago, and he was a great young man, and he was a Presbyterian, but he didn't know these things. He loved Jesus, you know, and he was doing his best to walk in obedience to God's word with what little he knew about God. But whenever he started working for me, I taught him the word. As we worked together and I was down there, I taught him about his power and his dominion. And then there was a huge hurricane coming to New Orleans years ago. And this thing was going to be devastating. So I called him. I said, Bruce, I said, this big hurricane says the chances are very good it may hit the coast right about New Orleans. He said, that's what they say. And said, I'm so worried. It might blow away my house. I said, you don't have to be concerned. I said, you're a son of God. I said, we have dominion and power over that. I said, Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it for us as his obedient sons. So I said, I pray for you. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to send angels to encamp around his property so that he does not lose one single shingle off of his house. There will be no damage to his place because, I said, he's your son and he loves you and he worships you. And I said, Father, you said that we could do these things and they would work. So I said, praise you and thank you, Father, for protecting Bruce and his family and his personal property, his cars and his house in the name of Jesus. A couple of days later, that thing hit. And when it was over, when the phone lines were restored everywhere where he could call, I mean, as soon as he could get through on a telephone, he called and said, Thurman, this is awesome. He said, the house in front of me was completely destroyed. The street across, there's nothing left but a concrete slab. And he said, the one right behind me, only half of it's left. And I said, what about yours? He said, I never lost a shingle. He said, my house is completely intact. And I see, this confirms what this says, doesn't it? Amen. See, if we read the Word and we study the Word, we don't care what kind of devastation God is going to speak through the prophets that's going to come to us. That ought to make us aware that we need to walk holy in His presence. Amen. We need to love Him and worship Him, because if you're His child and you're walking in obedience to His Word, you have nothing to fear.
Amen.
The law is not for those that are obedient, is it? It's only for the disobedient. And he goes so far as to say it's for the whoremonger, the prostitute, the adulterers, the fornicators, the covetous, the liars, the thieves, the cheats. That's who the law is for. It's not for those of us that are righteous, that are walking and obedient to God's Word. You will never be judged as a child of God if you learn the Word and walk in obedience to the Word. And the merciful, the beautiful part about God, even if you're not walking there, you can. Amen. All it takes is just exactly what Jack did. When he came to me that day as a Southern Baptist, and I told him, Jack, God's merciful. He don't care what you've done. He'll forgive you. And I said, but he does say, when he forgives you, he does say, don't go do it again. You know, so don't come back next week. In fact, I've had that happen to me from a lot of people. They come in and they repent of their sins and they get healed. And then 1 month, 2 months, 6 months later, they come back and say, Pastor, I lost my healing. No, you didn't lose your healing. You sinned again. That's what you did. You didn't lose your healing. You sinned again. And that's what brought it back upon you. And there's a scripture in the Word of God that tells you all about that. You don't hear it preached on very much. I've heard one guy on Christian television preach on this, and when he preached on it, he was completely wrong. Somebody said, that's your interpretation. Well, I'll ask you in a minute. We'll get to it. Let you see who you think he's talking about. And then I heard two PhDs on seminaries talk about this one day, and they beat this thing to death all around it, and neither one of them ever agreed that it says and means what it says. But I'm telling you, when God said it, you don't have to be a PhD to interpret this scripture. I'm going to show you. You know, I mean, the first thing I want to take you from right here, he says that if you and me, if we receive this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we shall reign. Oh, that's in the millennium, I guess. That says right now, doesn't it? that says we shall reign in life now by learning Christ. See, so, and most Christians never learned this. Most Christians are like I was most of my life. I lived a defeated life. Here I was, a son of God, a joint heir with the King, and had no idea that all these things really belonged to me. But, you know, some of the things that kind of opened the door to me, it kind of helped when God started talking to me audibly. You know, I remember one day it really opened the door. I'm studying about faith. And that if I can believe and no doubt in my heart, nothing shall be impossible with me. Now, wait a minute, that's almost more than you can grasp, isn't it? Almost more. Most people say, well, you know, you can't do that. And we believe them. But praise the Lord, I had a mother that every once in a while would tell me, son, remember, Jesus said in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if you grow up with a mother or a dad that's telling you, as a young lady, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing. You'll grow up as a young lady and there will be nothing impossible with you if you will believe that promise. But I had a mother that taught me that.
Amen.
And so I grew up believing that there was nothing I couldn't do. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So whatever I decide to tackle, I just decide, okay, well, I either want to do that or I don't want to do that, but I can do it. If I wanted to be a doctor like you, I could. You decided to be a doctor one day. You went to school and become a doctor. You know? So, I mean, I decided I wanted to do this or that or whatever it was, and I went to school and learned and studied, and I mastered those things. I could do those things because I know I'm a son of God, and I'm supposed to be able to reign in life by the King. But even though I learned a lot of things and had a few little scriptures, I still never really got a hold of who I really was until God started talking to me. And all I'm learning about these scriptures, that by faith, Jesus would say to you, you can't do this because you have no faith. If you had faith, nothing would be impossible with you. I mean, I'm reading all these things. So one day I start home. I take my wife and my two little children back years ago, and we started to Grandma and Grandpa's house, my mother and dad's place, for the weekend. And we get down to Granbury, Texas, and my little car, I bought it brand new, but it's 5 or 6 years old or whatever by this time. And we're driving down the road at 9 o'clock at night on Friday night, and I get right downtown Granbury on 377, and it stops running. Just stops running. So I pull off into a little shopping center there and pull under a street light, and I get out and raise the hood and take the gas line out. And I tell Betty, I said, turn the starter over and let's see if any gas comes out. So she spun it over and nothing. I said, oh, shucks. Here I am in Granbury at 9 o'clock on Friday night with a broke fuel pump. I said, Lord, I'm dead in the water. What am I going to do? Now, how many of you ever talked to God like that and you never dreamed he'd talk back, huh? Have you ever done that? Have you ever spoke to God like that, Deborah? and he talks back sometimes, doesn't he? Yes, he does. So the Lord says, son, didn't I say in my word you could ask for anything and I would do it? I said, well, yes, Lord. I mean, I heard that voice just as clear. And he says, well, it does something. Here he said, we as his sons and daughters could, if we're obedient and love him and serve him, he has given us no limitations of what we can ask for. And so here I am with a broke fuel pump. And I mean, he's the King of the universe. I mean, he can fix electricity. He can do anything, can't he, Jack? I said, Lord, I mean, I grabbed a hold of that. I said, Lord, if you'll provide enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour till I get my wife and children home, tomorrow I'll put a new fuel pump on it. I said, Lord, thank you. It's done. And I reached over and put that gas line back in, put that air cleaner on. I shut that hood. I went around the back, put up my tools, slammed the trunk, and slipped in under the dash, under the steering wheel, and reached for the key. And Betty said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. And I hit that starter. Man, that car started just like that. we back out, and of course she's sitting over there just in amazement. And I start to take off, and all of a sudden I hear another voice. You know, when you get into a miracle like this, you can be assured that the enemy's going to show up. He said, "Now you don't really think God would pump gas for an old wicked guy like you. You remember all those bad things you've done." You know, they start running through your mind. And all of a sudden I said, "Devil, I mean, here I'm talking out loud. I'm hearing this voice. I know nobody's hearing it but me." I said, "Devil, I said, I ain't listening to you. I said, God's pumping gas for this car, and I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to the house, and you ain't going to stop me." Now, Betty's sitting over there looking at me thinking, "What?" But you know, she never said one word from there to the house. The next 2 hours, she sat totally silent. And me and the devil and God fought this battle. And I got out at the edge of town, and I got going down the road. I got past that 35-mile speed limit. I got out the edge of town, and I said, "Well, I'm going to the house." You know, and I pushed that throttle down. We went up to 50. And I remember that little 71 Toyota had a little round speedometer on it, and 50 was right in the middle at the top. And it went right to 50. And I thought, "Well, I'm going to run no faster." And I pushed it down, and it wouldn't go no faster. And I come to a hill, and I went over the top of that hill at 50. And then on the down, I thought, "Well, I'll get up some speed going down." So I pushed her to the floorboard. When I got to the bottom of that hill, I was still doing 50. Now, as an engineer and a mechanic, this don't make no sense. We all know it takes more gas to go uphill at 50 than it does downhill at 50, right?
Yes.
Okay, everybody knows that. Then I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't understand. You said for me to ask, and you'd pump this gas for me." I said, "Why will it not run but 50? He said, "Son, I'm a faith God, and that's all you ask for, 50. That's all you're going to get." See, he taught me several lessons. He is a faith God. You ask him to stabilize the heart. You didn't know the woman sitting over there with comatose. So you didn't ask. She's still comatose. But you asked for him to stabilize her heart and her blood pressure. And they said, "Okay, no problem." He fixed it. Now see, he's a faith God. Now see, when I learned these principles, that's why I started praying for people. They get all your sins repented of. And then I pray for a complete healing from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. See? And how many times have I seen God move in and heal people? And just to prove to you how much He loves us when we repent of our sins, He'll meet every requirement that you ask Him for. And if you go in there, and I've seen just like little Edith down there at Sky Shift. When I prayed for her in the cafeteria that time, you know, after about 3 months, everybody there knew I was one of them, you know, holy, crazy guys, you know, and they all wanted to stay clear of me. I was the first guy to ever walked in and prayed over food and everything else and talked about Jesus all day long. And some of them thought I was nuts. You know, they just thought, "This guy's crazy. They never seen a guy like this." In fact, one of my leads there, he said, "Oh, I got a Bible-thumping boss. I've been here 20 years, but I'm going to find me a new job." Until Edith. When Edith come in, 64-year-old, and had carpal tunnel. I didn't know she had all these other things wrong with her, too. But when I saw her back there and I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "I have carpal tunnel." I said, "Well, come over here." I said, "How would you like for Jesus to heal you?" She said, "Well, I'd love it." I said, "Come over here." She came over here, and I reached up and put my hand on her and held one hand. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, do a complete healing on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet." And He instantly healed her carpal tunnel. And over the next few months, 3 months before she went back to a doctor for a checkup, she come in my office that morning. She come bouncing in there and said, "Mr. Scrivener, you remember the prayer you prayed for me that morning? You remember what you said?" I said, "No, ma'am, I really don't." I said, "But what difference does it make, Edith? He healed you." She said, "You said, Father, in the name of Jesus, do a complete healing on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet." I said, "So, okay, Edith." I said, "But he healed your carpal tunnel right there." She said, "Oh, but I had many other things wrong with me. And I just got back from my physical, and the doctor just come forth with a report and said, Edith, I don't know what's happened to you since the last checkup, but there's not a single thing wrong with you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet." Do we serve an awesome God? He's a mighty God. And see, I've learned that when I ask Him to do a complete healing, now if I'd have said, Lord, will you heal her carpal tunnel? Guess what I'd have got? That's all I'd have got. He said, but son, she's got all these other things wrong with her. But see, I didn't know that. So He's a faith God, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so you have to realize now that if we hear devastating things this afternoon, and I'm sure we're going to, you know, I'm sure we're going. I mean, this nation, I mean, when I look at, I mean, I was talking to this family back here, come here from West Texas. They flew in over here to Denton to come here to hear this man today. And I was talking to them, and we all agreed back there when I was talking to the men a while ago that this country is already past due for judgment. You know, it's going to happen. We're seeing it everywhere. I mean, nobody today ever puts the two together. When West Texas has a drought, you know, and they can't raise no crops, and then the next year, instead of having a normal rainfall, they get a flood and everything washes out and you can't get none because it's too much water or not enough water. Or you go up here in the Midwest, in Iowa or wherever it was, and they didn't have just a little water. I mean, it washed away towns. I mean, somebody told me we saw two-story houses that were sitting up there and water began to come up, and the two-story house washed off into the river and was gone. The whole thing. Let me tell you, you do not have to be concerned about that. Just like Joseph said, he and just like Dolores, she had that property down there in Florida, and he had a piece of property worth $10,000, and after his wasn't damaged in a few months, he got $55,000 for it. Amen. Now, does that sound like a judgment of God upon a man? That don't sound like judgment. That sounds like a blessing, doesn't it? But it was right in the middle of the devastation. You see where I'm coming from? So, I mean, when you learn that you have power and dominion to reign and rule with the Lord, if you know these things and He's a faith God, and the devastation starts to come near us, I mean, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of those three boys. Three little Hebrew boys. And the king says, I'm going to throw, if you boys won't bow down and worship my God, I'm going to throw you boys in the fiery furnace. Ooh, that sounds almost like a nuclear strike, don't it? A fiery furnace. And they said, King, if it be so that you throw us in the fiery furnace, let it be known that the God we serve is well able and He will deliver us through that fire. But if you don't throw us in the fiery furnace, let it be known we still ain't going to bow down and worship your God. You know, that right there is another misinterpreted verse. You can go back in Daniel 3 and read that, and almost every man that wrote a commentary on that has misinterpreted that verse, those verses. I had one man come to me with seven commentaries from one organization that these seven men, everyone agreed that I was wrong on that translation. Every one of them. All of them are PhDs. And I told them, I said, okay, guys, if I'm wrong, where it says there, but if not, then let it be known, we will not bow down and worship your God. I said, if that means, and they all said, it means that if God don't deliver us through the fire, we will not bow down and worship your God. I said, I'm just a country boy, but I said, this is the way I look at it. If I make that declaration, a positive declaration that God will deliver me, and then I turn around and say, but if He doesn't, I'm still not going to bow down and worship your God. I said, if He doesn't, then I ain't going to be nothing to bow down because I'm going to be toast. You know, so I said, I don't get it your way. I said, I don't see it your way at all. So all I can say is, hey, I think I'm right. I completely think I'm right there. That, you know, and I'm convinced that I'm right. But I studied it a long time before I got that too. So, but anyway, you know, the God we serve, He is able to deliver us. So if whatever happens, whatever is told, and I know there's going to be some devastating things because I've listened to some of this man's teaching. I mean, he might walk in here and say, you know, this area, Dallas, is going to be extremely hard hit, maybe with nuclear bombs. You know, all you got to do, if you're tuned in to God, all you got to say, Lord, what do I do? You want me to stay here or you want me to go? Lord, if you want me to stay here, then I know you're well able to even let a nuclear bomb hit in downtown Dallas and you not burn one cinder on this piece of property right here.
Amen.
Do you think God's able to do that?
Amen.
Sure He is. You know, He can do anything, but you got to realize that if God tells you, like for instance, what He's fixing to do, I understand some of the things He's talking about doing, the judgments that God's talking about doing in California as well as the Gulf Coast. He's talking about some tidal waves. He's talking about because of the homosexuals and the stuff that's going on in California, God is talking about, and we've not just heard one prophet with this, we've heard four or five that said there's going to be a large section of California fall off in the ocean. And of course, some of them now saying the whole state's going to fall off in the ocean. God's going to destroy the entire state of California. If He says that, if God says that, I don't know if He says it through this man or any man, all I'm saying, if God, if you're out there and you're a child of God and you're living in California, or if you're a child of God living on the coast of Texas, and if God says, I'm going to raise a tsunami up and I'm going to bring a 100-foot wave in there, it's going to come 10 miles, 50 miles inland, and I'm going to wipe out everything within 50 miles of the coast, if you're a child of God walking obedient to the Word, before it happens, He's going to tell you, leave. He's going to tell you to leave.
Amen.
When He tells you to leave, if you hear God tell you to leave, I'm going to tell you what, you better not sit there and argue with Him.
Amen.
You better get out. Because if you don't, He'll wipe you out too. He will warn you, I guarantee. So we as a church, living in obedience to His Word, does not have to fear serving the King.
Amen.
He will take care of you, just like He healed your back. I mean, Jack has been, as you can see, he's not a teenager. He's been around, well, he's an older teenager, I guess I'll have to say. Okay, he's an older teenager, really older teenager, kind of like me. He's not quite as old as me, but he's an older teenager. But it's amazing how that he went all those years not knowing that Jesus was a healer. You know? And then he got to the right point. And God was so merciful and wanted, He didn't want him to have a back problem because he's His son and he is doing a lot of good things for the kingdom of God, but he was still doing some few things he wasn't supposed to be doing. And he knows that. And I don't know what they were. I don't even want to know. But I just know He told me, I knew I had a few things, sins in my life. And when you told me I had to straighten them up, He said, immediately I knew of some things I was doing, I had to stop. And so He said, I stopped it. And of course, once he repented and God forgave him, and then God healed him. See, 1 John 1:9 is so clear, you know, that if we confess our sins, He is righteous and just to forgive our sins and to restore us to fellowship. But, you know, the thing that we miss, He says, go and sin no more.
Amen.
See, don't come back in here tomorrow. Because if you come to me and I tell you these things, and then I pray for you and God heals you, and I tell you that, you know, your sin is what opened this door. Now, don't go do it again. You know, if you were thieving out there, you were lying out there, you know, you were cheating somebody, you were sleeping around with somebody you ain't supposed to be, that you wasn't married to, all those things are sin. If you were coveting something that belonged to somebody else, and I tell you, that's what caused your problem. If you had an unforgiveness towards someone and you forgave them, you get healed, then don't do it again. Because let me show you what God does. And I'm going to take you to Hebrews 10:26 and on, and I'm going to show you what happens to Christians. And like I say, these two PhDs and this one guy on television, Christian television, said this Hebrews 10:26 and on is talking about a lost person. Now, I want you to look at this, and I'm going to read this through one time in its entirety, and I want you to tell me who you think he's talking about. Now, when we go to Hebrews 10:26, listen, for if we... Now, he's talking to the church. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And, of course, everybody said, well, the adversary, those are lost people. No, you haven't heard Dave's teaching on me wicked. You don't understand, when you sin, God classifies you as wicked and His adversary. Now somebody's like, what, me? I'm God's adversary? Yeah, when you sin. That's what Dave, that was a slap in the face for Dave when Dave learned that when he sinned against God, God considered him wicked. And so he made a great teaching, and he titled it, Me? Wicked? No, I couldn't be wicked. But God says we're wicked when we sin, don't we? We know that, don't we? But now let's go on here, verse 28 and 29. He gives you an example. He said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Died. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite under the Spirit of grace. Now this guy he's talking about right there, is that a lost man? Do you see that as a lost person or who has counted the blood of the covenant? That's a saved person. Wherewith he was sanctified. How can you be sanctified without the blood? You can't be sanctified without being a child of God. He has considered all that an unholy thing. And he has done despite under the Spirit of grace. When the Spirit of grace told you not to sin, you went ahead and done it anyway. Let's see what the next verse says. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge the lost people. What does he say? His people. Is that what he said? Now then, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Keith, you're a great big old boy. But I wouldn't be near as fearful if you really got wrathful and was going to tear me all to pieces. I wouldn't be near as fearful of having to stand against you as I would God. You know that?
Amen.
You know, God, he can do some harm to us, can't he?
Yes, sir.
Now, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But now, do we have to, as children of grace, fall into the hands of a living God for judgment?
No.
What do we got to do? Walk holy before him, right? You know, walk holy before him. That's just like the other day. Cheryl and I give you some examples. Cheryl and I was up in the Midwest somewhere, and we were teaching the Word of God for a few days. And one of the evenings at prayer, there was a precious little daughter of the king, had three or four little children. She came to me for prayer. I said, honey, what's wrong with you? She said, I have been diagnosed with uterus cancer. Here she is, a young woman, you know, probably 30, 35, maybe. 30-year-old woman with uterus cancer. Just a coincidence that a 30-year-old woman with three children's got uterus cancer. No, ain't no coincidence about it at all. Not after what I've studied from God's Word. I said, young lady, are you married? Yes. I said, where's your husband? She said, he's in prison. I said, well, let me ask you this question. Are you having sex with some man you're not married to while your husband's in prison? Well, yes. I said, do you not know that sin? Do you not know God hates that? Well, I guess I did know it was sin. I said, then why do you do it? You know why we do it? Because the flesh is weak. And the spirit's not being fed the Word of God. So what did that happen? What did that cause to her? Uterus cancer. I said, okay. I said, God will forgive you. I said, you want to get well or you want to die with uterus cancer? Well, she said, I want to get well. I said, there's only one thing you can do. I mean, she's got three babies. You know what people would say? Here's a young woman, 30 years old, in a year or two dies with uterus cancer and leaves a husband in prison and three babies for somebody else to take care of. And everybody says, what a shame. Hey, it's a judgment from God. She didn't have to do that. All she had to do was do what she did. She repented, made God a promise. Lord, I won't never do it again. I promise. I won't never, ever, ever have sex with another man besides my husband. Now, that's safe ground. You know that?
Amen.
That's safe ground. That's the only kind of sex God blessed is when a man and woman is married. That's the only way. He doesn't bless it no other way. He curses it any other way. But I told her, I said, if you'll repent, I'll pray for you, and I guarantee God will heal you. He'll forgive you, and he'll heal you. And so we did, and I have not heard anything from her. But I am sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God healed her. Because how many times have Cheryl and I seen that just in the 4 years we've been married? I mean, we've seen this over and over and over. People that are sick, young girls. We find young girls, 16, 18, 20 years old, come to us with a bad pap smear. My first sin, you having sex with some boy? You letting some boy mess with you? Well, yeah. I said, well, you got to stop it. That's what's brought this on you. That's why you got a bad pap smear. Now, how many young girls want to die with cancer at 20 or 30? None of them. Or when a young boy comes to me and he's 25 years old and he's crying on my shoulder, I got a venereal disease. I said, you've been messing around with girls, haven't you? But Mr. Scribner, I said, hey, God told you not to do that. He'll put a judgment upon you. Isn't that amazing? You know, I could stop AIDS in one generation. All people have to do is stop doing that stupid stuff. You know it? I mean, I don't have to spend billions of dollars for research. Stop sinning and pray the prayer of faith. God will forgive them. We get them all healed. But then they got to stop sinning, right? And if they don't stop sinning, what happens to them people? We just read there in Hebrews 10, 26 and on. What happens when they go back and sin again willfully after they know it's sin? What happens to them? A judgment of God comes upon them. Have you ever seen anybody die with AIDS? You've seen somebody in the last stages of AIDS? It ain't pretty, is it, young lady? Is it? It's one of the most devastating deaths people can die, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a friend that I used to work with, his brother.
Wow.
And he called and asked his brother to come over and pray for him. And his brother called me. He said, would you go with me to pray for my brother? Well, I didn't know he had AIDS. I thought we were just going to pray for a sick man, not a man that was dying. And we prayed for him, but he went to his grave with a boyfriend, and they always slept in the same bed. He'd never, never repented.
If you don't repent, there's no hope, is there?
He never repented.
Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. I mean, everywhere in the Scripture, you'll see that God demands, I don't care what we've done. He is the most merciful God there is. I've seen Him heal almost everything known to man. But in every case, it's been after repentance. After repentance. After we repent and make Him a promise, God will not do it again. So I'm going to tell you, that's why the judgment of God is coming upon this country because of sin. But we as the body of Christ have nothing to fear if we'll walk in obedience to His Word. Not only can we don't have to worry about this Hebrews 10. We don't have to worry about that at all. But I like that Romans 5:17 where I can reign with the King. Don't you?
Yeah.
Now see, that's the part that we like. Don't we like when a tornado starts coming across and judgment's coming? And I stood right out there in the door of my shop years ago when my nephew was up here painting a truck for me. And we had a television out there. And he was watching television, the news, while he was working on a truck, him and his friend. And all of a sudden they said, there is a tornado on the ground just northeast of Justin, Texas. It's going northeast. Chuck heard that. He said, Thurman, aren't we northeast of Justin? I said, yes, we are. He throwed his paint gun down, run outside because it was cloudy, black clouds. And he looked and he said, Thurman, there it is. Where are we going to run? I mean, that's the way average Christians react, right? I said, Chuck, we ain't going nowhere. I just put my finger. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to dissipate now in Jesus' name. He said, Thurman, what a coincidence. I said, there was no coincidence to that. He said, you mean to tell me you think you got power over them things? I said, no. I know I do. He said, all right, paint jobs off. Paint jobs off. We're going to the Bible. We got to have Bible class this afternoon. So we stopped painting the truck and had Bible study the rest of the afternoon. He wanted to know where this was found in God's Word. You know, think. In other words, first of all, Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, and let's see what the Lord said here in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. This is where this is the king that we serve. Matthew chapter 28, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "A little bit of power is given unto me." Well, it must be a little bit, because we don't act like all power is given to our king, do we? The average Christian. But it says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power." I mean, if all power is given to our king, how much is left out?
None.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And verse 20, look at verse 20. And teach them, the new converts, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now then, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 7 and 8, let's go and see what Jesus commanded them to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the king gave his disciples this power, did he not?
Yes.
Well then, what's wrong with the church? Why are we so sick and feeble today? Do we not believe this? Let's see what verse 7 and 8 says. Look what verse 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, Jack, we don't have to be a doctor to understand that, do you?
No.
I mean, you could be a country boy like me and even get that, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now see, this is where you and me, Lisa, this is where you and I are supposed to live every day. As we go about our jobs doing things, we're supposed to be a servant of the King. We're supposed to be doing great things for the kingdom of God, acting on dominion and power. Now like that story somebody told me the other day, there was a young man somewhere in some city. God sent him to this little city to preach the word. He's up there preaching the word. God's trained him. He's a faith man. And he's out on the street preaching, and a motorcycle gang comes by. And they don't like what he's preaching. And so they start beating him up. And they really, those big bruisers, I mean, they're really tough when there's 8 or 10 of them, one poor little preacher. You know, and they beat him up, and they broke one of his legs. The bones come plumb out the side. So they left him almost for dead. Somebody called 911. The ambulance come, got him, picked him, and carried him down to the community hospital. And he lay there for a couple of hours. And he said, I got to thinking, you know, all these people in here sick and afflicted, God didn't call me to lay in a hospital. He said, by faith, nothing's impossible if I believe him. So he said, Lord, I need to be out there on the street preaching. He said, Lord, I'm going to get off this bed in total faith. I'm going to step down on that floor, and I'm going to walk out that door, and there ain't going to be nothing wrong with me, and I'm going back down on the street, and I'm going to preach your word. And they said he stepped down off of that bed, and before we got to the front door, every bruise and broken bone in his body was completely healed.
Amen.
Now that's faith.
Amen.
And he went back down and went to that same street corner and started preaching again, and gathering a crowd. And the motorcycle gang came back by, and they looked and they said, you look like that guy that was here a while ago we beat up. He said, I don't look like him. I am him. They said, there ain't no way possible. He said, I guarantee I'm a son of the King of the universe, and he healed me. You guys beat me up, broke my leg, sent me down to that hospital, but Jesus healed me, and I'm back out here preaching. He said, nearly that whole motorcycle gang got healed that day and got saved, I mean. Nearly every one of them. When they see you and I reigning. Did you know that's what I call reigning, don't you? That young man believed the word of God. He wasn't laying there in the hospital saying, oh, God, look at me. I'm all beat up and bruised and I'm bad shape because I was preaching your word. I mean, did that what Paul did? They beat him, cut him up, and he's sitting out there in stocks, blood running down his backside. Is he out there saying, oh, God, I'm about your business and they beat me up? What What was he doing? Singing and worshiping and praising the King. And he did that till midnight. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down and angels come and they hit that prison and Paul was healed and Barnabas was healed and the stocks come off of them, the doors all open and they jumped up and the jailer fed them and he got saved.
Amen.
Now then, we don't care what kind of bad news we may hear this afternoon. Remember who you are.
Amen.
You're sons and daughters of God. You know, but see, this is why God sends His prophets to tell us these things. So we'll know what to do and how to do it. You know, so I can assure you there will be some bad news. Because today where we're living, no prophet, if a prophet walked in here and said, you know, this is going to be the year of plenty. God's going to bless us with everything and He's going to bless this whole country and Dallas is going to prosper like it never prospered. I kick him right out that door because I know that ain't true. I know that ain't true. Because of the sin in Dallas, God's not going to do that to Dallas. Do you believe He's going to bless Dallas with all the sin that's down there? I don't believe so either. But I do know that He's going to bless you if you'll love Him and serve Him.
Amen.
You don't have to be afraid of the devastation that's coming. So I want you to know that. You know, I've had the privilege to walk in just a little bit of this God's anointing power, and I know a little bit about what's available. And many of you here that were sick and afflicted, that are healed, that have been walking in total divine health now for several years, you also have learned what's available.
Amen.
So now then, I realize that it's 4 o'clock, and what we've done, these girls here, I'm going to be up here to pray for people anybody needs to be prayed for. But we got an hour between now and the time that Matthew is supposed to be here. And then I don't know how long he's going to talk. So what the girls did, they got together and they've made a little snack for y'all, some sandwiches and I don't know what all, maybe some tea and what I don't know what all they got back there. But we're going to bless all that and you're going to go back through that door and probably come out this door up here and, you know, you're going to pick up whatever you want, sandwiches. We got plenty of them. Don't worry. We got water and iced tea, they say. We got cold water over there in the deal. We got, I think, iced tea back here. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this blessed day. I thank you that you are our Lord and our God and that Jesus is our Savior. And He is the King of kings and all power and all authority has been given to our King and He give it to us. As long as we walk in obedience to your word, we have nothing to fear of the devastation that's going to come upon this country. But Lord, you're going to create a revival through those of us that believe you, that walk holy before you, and you're going to see thousands and tens of thousands and millions of people come unto you because of those of us that will walk in obedience to your word. Lord, we ain't looking for a rapture tomorrow to take us out. We're looking here to help you be about your business on this earth. And we know one day you're going to take us out, but Lord, I ain't no hurry to go. I want to be here to fight the battle with you. I want to earn some rewards down here on earth so I can have some rewards when I get home. You know, I want to work for you, Lord. I want to do great things for the kingdom. I want to see you work through us and do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I look forward to the years ahead, the days and the weeks and the years ahead. I know you're going to use us, those of us that are willing to serve you, mightily for your kingdom. And I'm looking forward to walking holy and obedient to your word. And Lord, I'm going to I'm going to do everything I can to walk totally sinless in your presence. And Lord, when I do mess up, I'm going to thank you in advance for forgiving me. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless this little group today. I ask you to bless what's going to happen after a while when Matthew gets here. And I ask you to bless this food and drink that we're about to partake. And Lord, bless it all to our physical bodies and bless all the girls that went together to help put this together. Lord, and we thank you and praise you for being our mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.